Now that our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters have installed their new pope, and we have installed a new Archbishop of Canterbury, all of the rest of us can finally get on with what is left to us of the season of Lent. On this day, we enter into the last great days of this season, the time that leads us finally, after a long preparation, into the joy of Easter. These days of Lent are meant to be preparation by means of some adjustment in our lives, some kind of change in the usual routine. And the old wisdom of the church, the way that we have typically done that, is by means of self-denial. I have done everything I knew how to do since before Ash Wednesday to encourage all of you to take advantage of this season of preparation, to do something, choose something, find something that would help you change your routine just enough to begin reflecting on where you stand in your life with God. The reason that we do this, the old wisdom that brings us to this practice year after year, is that we need to be reminded of our ultimate dependence on God and on each other here in this community, this place where we find what the love of God really means. But now, if, despite all of my warnings and my pleadings, you have not done anything, well, here we are at the very threshold of the great events that bring us to Easter. This service of Palm Sunday has been in the vocabulary of the Christian church for a very long time. Almost from the beginning did we reenact the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. This great moment and that particular image of the man riding the donkey, heralded by happy throngs of people. We did it because the Old Testament itself set up that picture of the man on the donkey as the very image of the coming king. And so when people saw that, they knew, or they thought they knew, exactly what it meant. Palm Sunday has been in our vocabulary for a very long time. More recently, though, did we link Palm Sunday to the story of the Passion, events that don't happen until Friday. Passion and Palm Sunday all sort of brought together in this day, formerly known as Palm Sunday or the Sunday of the Passion. We did it for a sort of practical reason. When the world got more busy and we all got jobs, it was difficult to expect that people would make their way to church on every day of this most holy week in the calendar. And so, just to make sure you would be reminded of the great story, it gets brought forward into this day. So here it is all, the great drama. The king, the triumph, the palms, the victory, the parade, and then the trial, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the abandonment. The man who had ridden the donkey, stumbling through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying his cross on his way to destruction. What does it mean for us? In many parts of the Christian world this week, the story that we have been telling will be reenacted in a way that some of you know by walking the stations of the cross. From a very early point in our church's history, when the church began to grow in Europe, a place that was unimaginably far away from Jerusalem and the setting where all these events had happened, the churches became little models of Jerusalem itself. And along the side walls of the church would be put 14 little images reminding the people of specific moments along the journey, from the condemnation by Pilate to the death and the burial of Jesus. And indeed, that is something true in many Episcopal churches as well. Not this one. We're not big enough to have side aisles. We do have windows, and our church tells the story in something of a different way, starting right there with the Nativity and going all around the church to the back and here to the front, finally to the crucifixion. Our own version of the Stations of the Cross. Not the same ones, but the way that we have done it for years. In Jerusalem this week, that will be done for real. People will walk the Via Dolorosa. You'll probably see images on television of the faithful doing it yet again. In Rome, the new pope will probably reenact the Stations of the Cross. It is a traditional way of doing things. The question for us is, how in this week will we walk our own way of the cross? Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, three things are required for a disciple: to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and to follow. During Lent, if you've taken advantage of it, you had the chance to do that little bit of self-denial, the denying of ourselves. But now comes this other piece, taking up our cross. What does it mean? Well, the first and most important question is, what is your cross? What is your burden? What is the thing that you are carrying with you that is destroying you? What is the thing that you carry through this world that is killing you? It is the easiest thing in the world to want to deny. It is the easiest thing in the world to want to leave behind. And Jesus says to us as disciples, now in this moment of remembering the story, our time has come to take up our cross and to follow. So what is your cross? What is your cross? That is the question for all of us in this week ahead. But one last point. Jesus does not ask us to pick up our cross and follow him to that place on the hill so that we will be destroyed alongside him. Instead, Jesus asks us to do this knowing fully that what is coming is a victory over that cross and all of the crosses that we bear. We are meant to share in that victory as disciples. But to get there, we must pick up whatever the most frightening burden we have is, whatever the soul-killing thing is that weighs us down, and to follow in these days ahead on the way to the place where it will all be transformed and ultimately vanquished by the love of God. Amen.